Lord, we just come to you, and I thank you for each one that's here tonight. I thank you for bringing them. I thank you for handpicking them just to be here. And I just ask that you connect people. I ask that you show people, Lord, what you want to teach each one of us about the power of gentleness and how to draw closer to you. I ask for a great revelation of your love, and I just speak peace and blessing over each home here. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, I was asked by a group of ladies in Comfort to come and speak. And I said, okay, I'd be happy to. And sometimes when I get invited, they give me a topic, and other times they let me choose. When I do, I speak at women's conferences and churches in different places. And I committed to this, and the lady said, now we're studying the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. And I said, okay. And she said, and your topic is gentleness. And I said, okay. And my first thought was, oh my word, they have asked a bull in a china closet to teach on gentleness. How is this going to work? And as I prayed about it, I was like, God, they picked the wrong person. But the Lord said to me, he said, but I want to teach you about gentleness because it's important for you. And so that became my journey in studying this topic. And then, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I did a study. And one of the fruits that I chose was gentleness. So let's go with me right now. Let's jump into Galatians 5. I think I wrote down the wrong passage on your little thing, so correct it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. I think I put Galatians 3. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and fruit is, I want to say in this, it's evidence of walking with God. Here's evidence when you walk with God and do things His way. Here's what the fruit is. It's love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So right there we see that gentleness is important to the Lord, and He's saying to all of us that when you walk with me, you'll use your gentleness. In some personalities, I think naturally, they're just some women I know, some men that they're just naturally gentle, soft-spoken people. And then there's others like me. They're a little bit loud, a little bit outspoken, a little bit opinionated at times. And so for some of us, we have to practice that a little more. And fruit's not grown overnight. It takes practice. And if you don't leave here with anything else tonight, we are all about practicing the word. Practicing what we're learning. And when you practice some, you're going to get it right, and then you might get it wrong. I know at least I do. And I have a couple of friends that are doctors, and they practice medicine. Sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they get it wrong, but then you learn. So the important thing is that we practice. So to define gentleness, and this will be one of the things you can fill in at the top, we're studying gentleness tonight because it is what I've discovered, a powerful tool in many of life's situations. And gentleness, another reason we're studying it, is it because we can use the power of gentleness at work, at home, and in our community. Gentleness, in the scripture we just read, if you go to the Greek translation of that, gentleness is excellence of character and kindness. And the definition from the dictionary in gentleness is kind or tender, having the qualities of noble birth, not harsh, not severe. And as a verb, gentleness means calm. Gentleness is powerful humility. I'm going to say that again. Gentleness is powerful humility. It means you're sweet-spirited, tender-hearted, and overcoming. And when I think of people that really I see gentleness in their life, my heart is open to those people. And what I've discovered is I feel loved, I feel valued when someone is gentle with me in different situations, and I want to hear what they have to say. And I want to develop more gentleness in my own life. As I was studying this, another morning I wrote down about gentleness. I was just like, Lord, what do you have to say to me? What are you trying to work in me and out of me? And here's what I wrote in my journal. Gentleness diffuses people. You are a strong woman, and I've made you that way. Gentleness serves you well and serves others. It doesn't sap your energy, and it keeps you restful. It makes you look good like me. It represents heaven well, as heaven is full of gentleness. It is very valuable and should be seen by all. Pursue it, Kathleen, and let it be seen in your life. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 11:29. So I could tell when I wrote those words that I felt like were from the Lord. I was like, wow, I really need to get this down because there's so much more to gentleness than I ever knew. Matthew 11, verse 29, 28, and these are Jesus' words. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When I read that, something that hit me was when I partner with God, whether it's at work, whether it's in something I'm struggling with, whether it's in a relationship, when I partner with God, it makes it easier. And partnering a yoke right here in this scripture, you know, they in those days, they'd put a yoke around oxen and they would plow the field. And so when we partner with God, it makes things much easier. And gentleness provides rest for our heart. So I want to just encourage you, if you're running around stressed out, uptight, try practicing your gentleness. Jesus was the mightiest man around, and yet he described himself as gentle right here in this scripture. So one of the reasons I discovered of why it was important to study gentleness is because Jesus is gentle with me. You know, I can mess up. But he's like, that's my girl. You can mess up. And he's like, that's my girl. That's my boy. I love them. They're practicing. Okay, they missed it. But that's okay. In Jesus, it's like he scoops us up and he just kisses on you. How many of you have grandchildren here? I know that some of you do. And I've kept my grandkids. I have five. I have one due any minute now. We could leave tonight. We've got a baby coming. If not before Thursday, it'll be here Thursday. And those grandbabies are so precious, you know, and they can fall down. They can trip. They can spill their milk. And it's adorable. And I think that's how God looks at us. Identity, and Jesus describes himself in identity. Gentleness was part of his identity. And scripture tells us that we're made in his image. We did a class last semester on wake up to who you are, and we discovered that scripture tells us in 1 Peter that we're a royal generation. Do you know you have the characteristics of Christ in you? You really do. And when you accept the Lord as your Savior, He He comes along beside you and walks with you. So gentleness is part of who we are. Gentleness, and you might want to write this down, it's one of your fill in the blanks. Gentleness is not weakness, it's strength under control. Now, anyone can get angry and tell somebody off. Anybody can give somebody a piece of their mind. But you're going to find great strength when you choose to walk in gentleness in those situations, because you're going to really have control. If you get angry and hot-headed, how many have ever said something and you're like, why on earth did I say that? You know, I mean, I know I have. I think I've spent a lot of time pulling my foot out of my mouth. When I choose to practice gentleness, it changes the atmosphere oftentimes in whatever situation I have. I remember one day, this was back when I was at the Job Corps, and I was working with young women and trying to help them and get a better life. And there was this woman that came in, and she was having difficulty with her rent. And so we talked about it, and we began to discuss how she could make things right, but she needed some grace and mercy at that point from her landlord. So we talked about it. I prayed with her. I kind of coached her on how to do it. And she said, okay. I said, go make that phone call, because you have to own up to your responsibility. So she walked out and made the phone call. And the next thing, she comes walking through my door, opens my door, comes walking through, and I could hear this woman on the other end of the phone yelling. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I could hear her. I mean, the girl didn't even have to hold it out. I could hear her. And I could see the look on her eyes. It was like, I don't know what to do now. And I just said, let me have the phone. And so I identified myself and said I was trying to help this woman. And this lady starts yelling at me. I hadn't done anything wrong. I was just trying to help somebody. But this woman just lit into me. And I had been studying gentleness. And so at that point, even though she was yelling in about decimal 9 out of 10, I just began to speak a little softer. And I said, ma'am, just, I'd like for you to consider. And I went on to say the situation. And well, there she went. She just kept on going, yelling and upset. And I lowered my voice another decimal. And I said, ma'am, could you please, and we began to talk. And as I got lower, it settled the situation down. Now, I could have said, I can't believe you're treating a human being like that. You know, she was not being kind. She was being ugly. This was a woman that I was trying to restore her dignity, you know, and she had somebody yelling at her. But what happened was, when I lowered my voice and got gentle, it began to diffuse the situation. So gentleness in times of conflict, practice your gentleness, because it helps dial the situation down. That's one of the things I think that's on there for you guys to write down. Gentleness shows compassion, and it shows honor for a person, and that you truly want to help them. You might know you're right in a situation and be tempted to set somebody straight, but I promise you, gentleness will show you that you really want to help them. You know, when you treat something gentle, you show how much you value it. I've used gentleness a number of times in my work. You know, you can be gentle and yet firm. And I'm definitely about setting boundaries. I'm definitely a person that is about being firm at times, but you can also be firm and gentle at the same time. I remember there was a situation that I worked with young people for a while, and there was a situation with a young woman that I was trying to help, and she was breaking some of the rules, and she had to come in for a meeting with me. And as I began to talk to her, she began to, you know, she was still in her teens, she began to try to set me straight. You know, well, I'll tell you, you know, the reason I broke that rule, and, you know, she had her reasons. And I listened to that, and the Lord just said, use gentleness. She hasn't had a mom. She doesn't know what that is. And I sat back in my chair, and I listened to her, and I said, you know, honey, I can see where you might see the situation that way, but here's what I'd like for you to do, and here is why. And as I was firm, and then I was like, and this is the way it has to be, or these are going to be the consequences. You can be firm and gentle at the same time. And I think oftentimes angry people are just resisting the grace of God that's there to be gentle. I remember one time I've said it a number of times, when something was going on and life was crazy, I just don't have grace for this. You know, I just, you know, I'm not going to, you know, that was my kind of expression saying, I just don't know that I can do this right. And God showed me, he said, you have grace, you just got to find it. Oh, okay, I just need to find it. So now I was like, where is my grace? I've got to find it. I know it's here. I'm about to kill this person, but your grace is sufficient. It's somewhere here, but it must be stuck under the bottom of the chair. Or I don't know, maybe I threw it out in there with trash, you know? So God's grace is there. And so if you're trying to practice your gentleness and that person is just getting under your skin, there is grace for that. Gentleness, and this is in your outline, gentleness disarms people. You know, some people just like to pick a fight. They just like to pick a fight. And any of us can quip right back and try to get the fight going, but when you're gentle, it actually shows that you trust God and you let him fight your battle. Let's look at Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Proverbs is in the middle of the Bible. It's right after the book of Psalms. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Ooh, this one's a good one. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Do you see right there? The Bible's given us a warning. It's saying when you use your gentleness, it can turn the situation around. But a harsh word can stir up anger. We're going to talk more about anger. We've got a class in a couple of weeks on the power of forgiveness. And we're going to talk about hand in hand how anger and unforgiveness go together. A soft answer turns away wrath. I remember years ago, for those of you that don't know me or maybe haven't read some of the articles in the paper, I was married for 30 years and my late husband died of cancer. And one of the things when I was studying gentle that I began to practice in my marriage was trying my gentleness instead of going head to head. And my husband, he said, yeah, I'm going to have to confess now, but I use gentleness on him too. And he's not the kind of man that yells, and we don't have those arguments, but we're both very strong, opinionated people. And we're set in our ways. We got married 6 years ago. And gentleness, in times when we're not seeing eye to eye, I promise you, gentleness will help you come into agreement. It will help your husband hear you. It will help someone hear your heart when you use your gentleness. So it's an excellent, your marriage is an excellent place to practice it. Stephen will also tell you that I don't practice it all the time. But I'm practicing, I'm getting better. I think he would say that. Okay, Proverbs 25:15. Let's see what that has to say. Proverbs 25:15. You know, gentleness is something powerful that you can use with your boss And in situations like that, it says, through patience, a ruler, that's someone in authority over you, can be persuaded. And a gentle tongue can break a bone. Now, that's pretty strong. A gentle word can break a bone. There is power in gentleness. Gentleness is powerful like a hammer. Powerful like a hammer. And I have used this countless times in work situations and to influence someone more powerful than me. Not too long ago, I've learned to use it too in different situations that are critical and important. And my husband needed to see a doctor. He needed to see a doctor now. My late husband, when he came in and he had a very rare cancer, he walked into my office and he said, I need to tell you something. You know that appointment I had today? I said, uh-huh. He said, well, I need surgery like tomorrow and we need a surgeon. And he was in San Antonio. He'd gone to a doctor in San Antonio. And he said, I came back here because we need a local surgeon. I said, okay. And so I knew somebody. And I called the office, and the lady that answered the phone said, I'm sorry, we can't see you for 2 weeks. I said, well, you don't understand. My husband's just been told that he needs to see a doctor. He needs to have this situation. At that point, we didn't know it was cancer. So she said, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't see you for 2 weeks. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. We are coming in today, and I just need you to tell me what's the very best time for us to get there. And she said, oh, okay, I'll see you at 3:00. And it diffused and changed that situation just immediately. So gentleness is power. It's powerful like a hammer. And I challenge you to use that in situations, maybe with anybody that's over you, that you need to hear your heart. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Let's see what that says. Let's see what we can learn about that. Ephesians is in the New Testament. So Galatians, Ephesians 4, and verse 1 through 3. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. Do you know that each one of you has a calling on your life? There are things God wants you to do. What you're learning tonight is not just for you, but you are going to have bump-ins with people that they're going to need to hear the things God's teaching you. Each one of us are called to work in this world and to help others. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. That's how Jesus tells us to do it. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Gentleness and humility go hand in hand. Think of a humble person that you know. I want everybody to stop right now and just think of a humble person. Now, I want you to think, are they gentle? They go hand in hand. A gentle man has an advantage because it opens him to the goodness of God. You know, when we do things God's ways, there are blessings that come simply because we're doing things God's way. And Colossians 3:12, you know, gentleness, something else I discovered, is Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3:12. Gentleness is kind of like deodorant. Now, what on earth do I mean by that? You need to put it on every day. I need to put it on every day. Colossians 3 and verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Right there in this scripture, it tells us to put on our gentleness. It tells us to put on some other things, but it tells us to put on our gentleness. Don't leave home without it. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 5. Let's see what that says. And I want to encourage you to take these scriptures. They are listed at the top of this lesson. And look them up, because I think God wants to speak something specific to each one of you. And I would rather you leave tonight and say, that was my takeaway. I think that phrase or that scripture is something God really wants me to practice. I would rather you take one thing away and practice that one thing and work it into the fabric of your life and own it than to answer a whole bunch of questions. So see what God has to say to you. And let's read Philippians 4, verse 5. It says, let's read 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God wants us to model gentleness. He wants us to display it. He wants people to see that in our lives. In 1 Peter verse 3, let's see what that says in verse 15. Says always, I'm going to read a little bit of 15. But it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, right there, it tells us that when we answer somebody, and as Christians, we are not supposed to go around beating them over the head with a Bible. That's not what God's heart is. If someone wants to know why you have hope, you can offer that, just like you would a plate of cookies. Well, this is who God's been to me in some of my troubles. This is who God's been to me in this situation. But gentleness, God wants us to make it evident to all. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Let's see this. What this has to say. Okay. It's in the New Testament, towards the back. 1 Timothy 6, 11, and this says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, or patience, and gentleness. So God wants us to run after patience. He wants us to pursue it. He wants us to practice it. He wants us to go after it and to choose it. We can choose many things. You know, you've got choices every day, but what are you going to choose? How are you going to show up? How are you going to show up in life situations? And you know, I pondered, okay, what has developed gentleness in me? I had a woman that I hadn't seen for a while, and I ran into her. And I had been through, lost my mom had been sick and was an invalid for 9 years, and lost my husband, lost my mom, lost my dad. So I've been through just a number of changes and challenges and life's difficulties. And I had to really stop, and she said to me, she said, Kathleen, I hadn't seen you in so long. And I said, oh, it's so good to see you. And we had a conversation, and she looked at me and she said, you're softer. You're gentler. She said, all that suffering I know was hard, but I can see a difference in you. You know, it's the hard things in life that when we press into God, it can change us. And one of the things in all of that, those hardships that I went through, is I said to the Lord, I don't want to waste this pain. Christians are not exempt from life's challenges. We just get to go through them a better way. And I said, Lord, I want you to work in me and work out of me things that you want to change. And so here I am, help me to learn. So suffering and tough times can develop gentleness, and sometimes there's just no quick way to develop certain things. When we choose gentleness, we don't have to react to people. How many of you have been in a situation and someone is coming at you, and whether it's accusations or disagreement or whatever, and when you choose gentleness, you know, there's that tendency because it's just our flesh nature. It's just our, wait a minute, but I think I'm right in this. How many of you think you've been right in situations and nobody's heard you? Is anybody else here? Well, sometimes we can react to people or we can respond in God's ways. We have a choice. Are we going to react or are we going to respond? Again, you can be firm, but it's how you do it. So gentleness is a great offensive and defensive weapon. And when you are gentle, you don't lose control. Just like I talked about earlier, it helps you in keeping a situation controlled instead of out of control. Anybody here been in a situation that you're like, oh my gosh, that is out of control? Have you been in those situations or is it just me? Okay. You know, there was somebody one time, I've been writing for the paper for 9 years, and this hadn't been that long ago, maybe about, I don't know, 18 months ago, I had this woman, and she sent me this email. She said, I've been reading your paper. It's the only negative email I've gotten, which I'm happy to say that. But she said, you don't speak strongly enough about sin, and you need to talk more about, you know, just, you know, for lack of a better word, hell, fire, and brimstone, and all of this. And I read this, and my first thought was, okay, but I hear you, but I just don't feel like that is what God has called me to do. I have a heart for people to see how good He is, how kind He is, who He was in the toughest times of my life. I have a real passion to help people discover the love of God and how much He loves us. I grew up, and even though I grew up in the church, it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I really discovered how much God loved me. In that. So this woman wrote out all these things. I'm telling you, it was an email that was long. I was like, oh my goodness. And I read it and I was just like, but there was no grace, there was no mercy, there wasn't anything in that. So I had to pray a couple of days, Lord, how do I respond? And so I used kindness and gentleness. I looked for everything that I could agree with her on instead of, let me give you 15 scriptures on why I don't think I need to conduct life that way. You can do that, but how many friends do you have? You know, I used my gentleness and I used my kindness. And I got a thank you for responding to me. Thank you for even writing back. I'm sure she thought maybe I wouldn't write back. And I asked the Lord to bless her. I asked the Lord to bless her family. I looked for any way that I could diffuse that argument. Because Scripture tells us, I can't remember where it is right now, but to run away from foolish arguments. I'm not interested in arguing with her about Scripture. I'm really not. I just know what God's put on me and on my heart to share with others about how much he loves us, about the forgiveness that he has for our sins, about how he wants to walk with us, about how he wants us to practice his word. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Oh, here it is, right here. I didn't even know I had this listed. I forgot. It says 2 in verse 24, 1 Timothy, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Look for ways that you can use your gentleness and kindness to help others. And when you are in times of suffering or difficulty, when you've been wrong, there are some of you here, and you have been wronged. There are situations where you were right and you did what's right, and someone hasn't been kind to you, and they haven't valued you, and they've taken advantage of you. And I feel like God wants you to know that that is not the way he is. And he wants to heal your heart. I wrote in my journal one time, and here's what I have written down. You have been learning to live in pain, brokenness, and suffering. And this suffering is giving birth to meekness, humility, gentleness, gratitude, and love. I need men and women grounded in these. I love using broken people. And for those of you that are here tonight and you feel like your life is broken, that there have been difficulties, that there's been hard things that have happened, and you find yourself in some ashes, God wants you to know that those things, when you partner with him and when you look to him, and in some situations, all you can do is say, Jesus, heal my broken heart. Jesus, fix it. God wants to restore you. And then he wants to use you to be a conduit to other people. See, when we are in pain and we press into God, he can use it. And I had three kids. I had three children naturally. I did not want to. I had never done drugs, and I decided childbirth was a great time to do drugs. But my epidural did not work. And so I found myself, guess what? You can't go back, okay? When the baby's coming, the baby is coming. And yes, there's a woman here that I know that have one in the car. I'm not going to point her out. Tough woman. I love her dearly. But childbirth is not easy. It takes a lot of strength and endurance. And I thought I was going to die. And then I didn't care if I lived or died. It hurt so bad. But I'm so grateful for the three children, grown children that I have. And they were worth every minute of it. And God's saying the same thing to some of you tonight in the situations that you find yourself in. This hard time is going to give birth to something. So hang in there. Don't waste the suffering. You know, when you resist God, you just get to go around the mountain again. You don't fail a test with God. You just get to go around it again. I don't like going around mountains. So surrender to God and partner with him and bring in the broken pieces and ask him to make it something of beauty. Let's go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. This is probably one of the first scriptures when God began. I read this one morning. And 1 Peter 3, verse 4, and I was like, it's a charge to women. I think it applies to men too, but it's talking to us as women, and I read this. It says, your beauty, 1 Peter 3, verse 4, says your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braiding a hair and wearing a gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And I read that one morning and I was like, oh, goodness, that just sounds like a lot of work for me. But that's what God wanted to come forth, was that gentleness. And that because in God's sight, when I could treat my family, my children, my husband in a kind and gentle way, that has the opportunity to win their hearts better than anything. And it's precious in the sight of God. But it's true with your grown children. It's true in your work situations. It's true, ladies and gentlemen, in any place you find yourself. So to conclude tonight, gentleness can quickly diffuse a tense situation, and it disarms people. Gentleness makes people feel valued. It's a deposit in someone's emotional bank. And when you wear it, it looks good on you. It's part of God's character, and we are made in His image. It's in us. We just need to develop it. And so tonight, as we just take a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're just going to take a moment. I want you to just quietly just sit and just let your mind go to a situation that perhaps you didn't handle things with gentleness. Perhaps you could have handled it better. I think that we can all say that we found ourselves in situations where we haven't done the right thing. But you know, anytime we see that we've missed the mark or we've, in our eyes, failed, God says to us, all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is come to me and say, I'm sorry, and ask me to forgive you. And I'm right there to do that. So I want you to just think for a minute of a time or times that you haven't been gentle, that you've been perhaps like me, harsh with people. And if you don't know Jesus, He'd love to meet you tonight. If there's anybody here that you say, I don't know. I've never really given my life to Christ. I've got a team, and team, if you'll just move to the side, that would be happy to pray for you and with you. But if you find that you have been harsh and unkind, just say, God, I repent. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for meeting us here tonight and being with us. And I ask that you just touch hearts and change lives. I pray for those that find themselves looking at a bunch of broken pieces. I thank you that you're a God that makes beauty out of ashes. I thank you for doing that in my life. I thank you for the tool of gentleness, and I thank you that we get to use it this week. And I thank you that you're a God that loves teaching us new and better ways, because you want to see us succeed and you want others to see Jesus in us. So I bless each one here. I bless their business. I bless their church. I bless their families, and bringing them back safely next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. The team, if you can make your way over to the side in case anyone needs prayer or just needs to talk to somebody. These are fabulous people. These are people I have pray with me in hard times and difficult situations. So if you need just someone to agree with you, please take advantage of that. And I